Sean Patrick Maloney is Congressman and Democrat of New York's 18th District. Sean, the Farm Bill. You know, a lot of people think of cows and, you know, and grass, but really there's a lot more at stake than all of that, although it's very important stuff, what happens to our farmers. But it also affects an awful lot of children, doesn't it?
Yes, you bet. I mean, 80% of the Farm Bill is actually the nutrition programs on which so many people depend. There's also important conservation titles and provisions in the Farm Bill that I spend a lot of time working on. The Farm Bill is essential to the Hudson Valley. You know, we have a huge agricultural region in my district and beyond my district. I think there's 1,500 family farmers just in Orange County. It's about a $100 million industry. Our farmers tend to be a little different. You know, our farms are family-owned. They're smaller, typically under 200 acres. You've got a lot of specialty crops, onions in particular, but a lot of fruits and vegetables as well. I've spent 6 years on the Farm Committee because I care about this stuff, and it's vital to my neighbors and the people I represent. We've got real challenges on things like crop insurance and covering their losses, on things like getting younger farmers onto the land, keeping farmland cheap, having the right kind of financing and training available to young farmers, forgiving student loan debt, things that will help them do what they want to do, which is farm, fighting invasive species, keeping the research dollars going, supporting the land trusts that keep our open space protected for generations to come. All of those things are in the Farm Bill. But the biggest threats right now in the Farm Bill come from the right-wing Republican effort to whack the food stamp program, even though we've saved tens of billions of dollars on that program in the last few years because the usage is way down from the Great Recession. And they have some of the most outrageous and extreme provisions I've ever seen coming after food stamps. And that and some other reasons are why I can't support the current bill.
Well, in the next district, you got John Faso. Is his positions on any of this stuff really antithetical to you? For example, he has work requirements on SNAP that he wants put in. What do you think?
Well, I'll let John speak for himself. He and I are in different places on the Farm Bill. I think he's talked himself into these food stamp cuts. They're pretty mean-spirited. They create a huge, expensive bureaucracy. The states are telling us they have no idea how they would implement it. It's essentially creating all kinds of new paperwork for eligibility requirements. It's a bunch of efforts to make it harder, make it more cumbersome, make it more costly for the states that administer this and the individuals who benefit from it to simply get the supplemental nutrition assistance they need. It's completely unnecessary, and it's wrong. And two-thirds of the people, getting these benefits are, you know, when you think about it, elderly or their children or they're disabled. They may be already working. I mean, you're talking about a very small percentage of the population that gets a small nutrition assistance benefit that would be subject to these work requirements. And the way they want to do it is to foist it onto the states, and the states are telling us they have no idea how they would do it. They're supposed to create a whole new bureaucracy around it. It is inefficient and stupid, but it comes out of an ideology that says if you're getting a little help, you must be screwing around, you must be getting away with something, you must be a bad person. And I don't understand that. And I don't ascribe all that to John. I know he thinks he's doing the right thing. But I'll let Congressman Faso defend his vote. Bigger problem I have is when you look at the Hudson Valley, I don't get why anybody would support this thing or a lot of the stuff that the Trump administration's doing, because it's bad for New York.
Let me go to another place, and that is a simple question. Can you guys, the Democrats, take back the House?
Yeah, we can take back the House.
How confident of that are you?
I'm pretty confident about it, but voters got to show up, and I don't underestimate the lengths the president and the House Republicans will go to hang on to power. I think we may see a lot of twists and turns before we get to November. But we have an extraordinary crop of candidates. They're doing great work at the candidate level. I think there are really shining stars like Antonio Delgado, who just got nominated in the 19th Congressional District, who's a Rhodes Scholar, who's got an extraordinary education, who's full of passion and energy and ready to work his butt off for the Hudson Valley. There's all kinds of veterans running for office, tons of women who are so impressive. We have more candidates in more districts doing better than I have ever seen, and it is fueled by a sense that somebody's got to pump the brakes on this crazy stuff that Trump and the House Republicans in Washington are doing to New York, from Trump care that they tried to whack us with, to this tax bill that screws New York, to killing the Gateway Project, the most important infrastructure project in a generation for New York. You know, we need people sticking up for New York. We just talked about the farm bill. There's so many issues where the House Republicans have New York in the crosshairs, and we need somebody pushing back on that. So I think we take the House. I don't know by how many seats, but it's going to depend on ordinary Americans going to the polls and getting involved. And I think you see that with women. I think you see that with people concerned about this horrific situation with kids in cages at the border. I think it's happening because of a lot of the policies of this administration that are hurting.
What about tariffs?
Like the ones I represent.
And what about tariffs? What about tariffs?
Well, look, you know, we're clearly stumbling into a trade war that's going to raise prices on people and hurt a lot of the very communities that Donald Trump purports to be helping. I think it's being fueled by a bunch of ignorance and a bunch of incompetent steps that they're taking one at a time. And it reminds me of the start of a lot of wars where people don't intend for the thing to go as bad as it does, but we keep going down this path where we're now in a trade war, an active trade war with China, the European Union, and the Canadians and others. And all this is not going to help American consumers. It's not going to help American workers ultimately. But I do think Democrats need to have real solutions for communities that have been screwed over by 30 years of bad trade policy. I represent a bunch of upstate communities that have watched their manufacturing jobs go away. Middle class people have seen their income stagnate. All of these things are related. So Donald Trump is exploiting the fears of people who have been screwed by this international economic system. We need to address them.
Okay, very quickly, I haven't got a lot of time, but I want to talk to you about Mueller. What are you hearing? If he comes out with a 1,000-page report and it brings the president very specifically into all of this, what does that do to our politics?
Well, it's a hypothetical. I think we should just keep our powder dry and see what he comes up with. The number one thing is to not interfere with his investigation. The president has tried everything he can think of to undermine him, to malign the FBI, to denigrate the hard work that they're doing, to minimize the significance of a hostile power launching a cyber attack against our elections. I mean, this is nuts. And so all I'm saying is Bob Mueller is a great American, served his country in combat, ran the FBI after 9/11. He's a good guy. He's about as independent a person as we have in America. By the way, he's a lifelong Republican, and we should let him do his darn job. He's got 22 indictments, 13 Russians, by the way, and 5 guilty pleas. That ain't bad for a year. And I think it's going to be a few months, and we should see what he comes up with. But if he says Donald Trump broke the law or colluded with the Russians, then we need to support the rule of law, and the president needs to go. If Bob Mueller says he did nothing wrong, then we need to fight this out at the ballot box, and we should just let him tell us what he found.
It's always wonderful to talk to Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney. You know, Sean, I've heard you speak many times, but you're on fire, and I so appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Alan.